Welcome to your next HR Wisdom resource. This is Ben Gagan from HR Wisdom, and today I'm joined by Jackie Alder, a consultant with extensive and diverse experience across human resources, change management, organisational development, and industrial relations. Jackie's experience has been gained across a variety of industry sectors, including resources, manufacturing, transport, government, and defence. Jackie has had significant achievements across a range of areas, with projects including organisational change, culture change, organisational redesign, systems implementation, workforce reform, and cost improvement. We've asked Jackie to share her expertise in different aspects of the difficult process of managing redundancies in the workplace. Let's get started. In case of voluntary redundancies, what would be the basic steps for a business to actually go through that process? And we'll come to the involuntary stage next, but if there are involuntary redundancies, how would a business make that happen?
Okay, Ben, so dealing with what are the steps with the voluntary redundancies first? There are similarities in steps between both, but with a voluntary redundancy, the organisation would still need to identify what area of the business or what category of employees they need less of. So is there a department that's going to close down, a function that's going to disappear, or have we got a volume reduction that means instead of 200 process workers we need 150 process workers? That would be my recommendation as a first step. To decide that, and then opening up your process around those targeted categories. Now, the other step in a voluntary redundancy process is, and in any process where you're terminating employees, is the organisation must pay attention to what is contained in their agreements and contracts with their employees or their company policies, because all those documents outline the obligation and the process that the employer has undertaken that they will go through in these circumstances. And quite often organisations focus on A, what's in an industrial agreement, and neglect B, what's in a company policy, because they may not necessarily be identical. So one has to apprise oneself of all those, as well as what is the current legal requirement, because as we know, very recently that's changed, and that's something yet for businesses to be working through in Australia. So that's the second step. And the third step is actually engagement with employees and employee representatives. So make your decisions around what the business requires going forward, understand what your obligations are in the legal framework, in your policies and in your agreements, and then have the conversations with employees and employee representatives about this is where we're going, this is why, and you know, we've got this process we're agreed on, so we've decided to approach it from a voluntary perspective. We think that means in our agreements that the entitlements are this, and the amount of time for it to be open and notice, etc., are specified, and then open the process accordingly.
Okay, we will come a little bit later to the issues of communication and how you actually manage the overall process, but in terms of how you actually choose the people or positions that will become redundant in an involuntary situation, how do you manage that process? And perhaps following some of those comments, you might be able to walk us through a bit of a case study around that.
Thanks, Ben. So how do you manage an involuntary redundancy process? The first steps of an involuntary redundancy process are similar to those that I just outlined for a voluntary redundancy process. I certainly recommend, again, that the business is very clearly focused on what it does need for the future and what it currently has that it doesn't need, understands its obligations, and opens up a dialogue with its employees. Now, if you're going to go through an involuntary redundancy process, that means that you have to have a process for making the choice at a more detailed level. The process I outlined for a voluntary redundancy was, okay, we now know we need 50 process workers. less, so we'll open redundancies for 50 process workers. Hope we get 50, not 51, and we don't have to deal with that. With an involuntary redundancy, you need to be able to actually make a selection decision. And the selection decision is based on what I just said before, what you do need, and being articulating that in quite a fine, just a bit of a finer sense. So if you've got 150 process workers and you want to reduce that amount, what's going to distinguish the sort of process worker you need in the future versus the sort of process worker that you need now? So for me, there's a more of a thought around what are the role design, because it might be that you need different skill sets, and are you going to select on those skill sets, or how are you going to manage that going forward?
So that's an interesting point you just raised. So rather than just pure numbers and number reduction, the business can afford 100 people or 1,000 people, we now need that to be 10% less or whatever. You brought a new factor into that equation of, okay, what does the business require now and in the future? So the skill set side of things. Is that correct?
That's correct. So in the voluntary redundancy situation, what you're doing is accepting that you may not get that optimum skill set, and you're going to address that after you've dealt with the numbers. And that might be appropriate when you haven't got a lot of time, because, you know, there are business realities out there, and recently we've seen with the credit squeeze that some businesses have had to shed because they simply have had their financial lines of credit and their funds have dried up, and they need to act very rapidly. So, you know, you make these decisions and then you work out the fine detail afterwards in those circumstances. When you have a little more time and a little less of a financial imperative, you can... For me, it's advisable to think more about what that skill building is to the future and make sure that you retain those people that best fit that future requirement, rather than perhaps losing those and reverse engineering later on.
Great. Thanks for joining us on today's HR Wisdom interview. Make sure you're on the mailing list so that we can let you know about further resources. Also, keep checking back to the HR Wisdom blog for the latest news, and you can find that at www.hrwisdom.com.au. Thanks again.